Well, thank you, Ellen. Several of you have the same thought I did. What are you doing in here? Well, one day I was out in the peach orchard and my phone rang and I saw Tom Buick. Well, when Tom Buick calls, you stop what you're doing. And he said, John, I want you to do something. He talked about it a little while after I hung up. I thought, you don't have any idea what Tom said. I said, let's talk about that later. I'll do it. And so during peach harvest, one day we set up a time for me to come inside and talk about this again. So that's what we're about to say. Tom and I had an honor of working with each other. Honor of working with Tom. I don't know if this is a two-way honor or not. Just on different things over time. And I don't know that some of you are in here saying, what are you doing in with gardening and what do you know about planting anything? You would think that would be the antithesis. Well, you know, here's the main thing probably is I am a gardener. Before I left home the other day, I intended to go out and take a bunch of pictures and stick in my presentation so you would know that I do touch the soil. I've done things like build a something to keep the raccoons off my corn and try to figure out what to do about the spider mites on my tomatoes and, you know, why are petunias blowing out in the heat earlier? All those things that you deal with all the time I do at home. So, I'm a gardener and someone, so I'm like you in that case. I want to make sure I still know how to grow something. That's something important to me. So, when I think about planning to make a difference, think about, first off, visibility. You know, if nobody's going to notice you, you're not going to get very far. So you might well enfold yourself. And the next thing, if you're going to plan something, is it going to be of any significance? Collective energy. You know, I don't know if this makes any sense or not to me, but when I've thought about this as a faculty member. I had a boss years ago that came to me and he said, you know, John, you've got one big problem. You think about what you are doing and you don't think about anybody else. You need to think about something broader in your department. And I didn't know what he was talking about and I thought about it. You know, yes, I do know. And I developed this concept of 1 + 1 = 3 when you work together. And it really does work that way. It's probably some metaphysical energy thing, but that's the way it looks to me. So there's way more than can get done than you may talk about today when you get it rolling. And of course, some goal that you've got to have. Carrying the message, you know. Boy, what a message. What a message for gardening. Is there really anything we do in life that's more important than garden, at least collectively? It is a big deal. You know, touching Mother Earth, you know, watching things live. Going out and spending hundreds of dollars to support the economy and then bring home and kill half of it. You know, what could be more? How many things do I kill and I just figure that's life? You know, most of the time if I go buy a gadget and it doesn't work, I'll stomp back out to Best Buy and say, this thing won't work, and then we go from there. But ultimately, yield progress beyond your dreams. You know, that's really what I like to always think about before I get into the mechanics of things. I'm fairly detail-oriented, so I do the dream thing a little while, and then I'll start worrying about the details. And that's really what you want to think about. I want to talk a little bit about specialty crop evolution. Realization beyond one's dreams. Some of the story. I think it was 2004. Now, I was at a Southern Region ASHS meeting, and this fella came. And he gave this talk, and he had this word called specialty crops. And he had him first slide that, and he had one of those PowerPoint with a maple leaf background. I remember distinctly. So it's Tom Buick that came and talked to some group there, and he had this idea about specialty crops. And I don't think I'd heard the word specialty, but I didn't know what a specialty crop was. And he said that Congress has defined what a specialty crop is in the 2004 Farm Bill, I believe, and it's some words, you know, like things that are of a lot of value. And it had been defined, and I think several million dollars had been handed out to departments of agriculture to do something, and so there was money, so we all perk up, particularly if you work in university, money always, you know, gets your attention. But he gave this idea about we're going to go, he somehow was going to happen to bring all the specialty crop groups together as a collective. And I was in the back of the room part of that time, and I just kind of snickered to myself. And I said, boy, you're talking about a pipe dream. It ain't ever going to happen. No way that'll happen. That bunch of diverse, you know, onions, watermelons, peaches, wine grapes, pistachios, and more stuff. And I thought, that's about the craziest idea I'd ever seen. But he's a nice fellow. You know, he came all the way down to Little Rock to give that talk, and I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. But I thought about it later and thought maybe that's not such a crazy idea. And then I don't know, different things happened in there. I was on the ASHS board and I learned what a white paper was. Now, I was curious about this thing. We had this National Berry Crops Coalition, and we were meeting in Geneva, New York, and I wanted to go up there just to see what this looked like. I didn't know what a coalition like that looked like, and I went to this room one day. We had this meeting, and I just sat down by some fellow that I didn't know. So, you know, I was sitting there, and after a while, you know, I'm from the South, so you're supposed to introduce yourself and be nice and all. And so I spoke to this guy, and I said, I'm John Clark, University of Arkansas. He says, well, I'm Jerry Lohr. And I thought, Jerry Lohr, I've heard of him. Is he playing some rock band or what? And I thought, no. I know who Jerry Lohr is because his name's on a bottle of a bunch of bottles of wine that I've drank. Jerry J. Lohr Wines. And so this fellow had come to New York to sit down with the National Berry Crops Coalition in its formative stage to talk about the importance of the collective energy that you could put together that was at the formation of the Specialty Crops Farm Bill Alliance was forming or formed or whatever. And I couldn't believe this guy did that. This is an important guy. He got his name on thousands of bottles of wine and there he was. And so I thought, there's something to this. And I knew Tom Buick had an idea that he was putting in place. And so this word, this definition of specialty crops, think about what you're going to call yourself. And you've got all the power, if not more, the specialty crops. That collective, that identifying groups. Now, Tom went out and figured out how all these different groups are. And he's got this unique government job where he can't get in there and lead them. He kind of herds them into the pen, and then they have to do something. Tom, is that about right? You know, I don't know how many of you grew up on a farm, but, you know, different things can happen when you do that. And but focusing on a shared agenda. Man, I'll tell you what, that's the fence you have to hop over. But that grass is mighty green if you can just get over that fence. But we don't know always how high that top strand is. And we don't know if it's barbed wire or hog wire sometimes either. The definition of specialty crops. The bottom line is it's the majority of America's farm gate value. Look at the bottom. It used to be called minor crops. Horticultural. Not insignificant. They're specialty crops. You got to hear senators, you know, on TV talk about specialty crops. Our State Department of Agriculture, Secretary of Agriculture the other day was talking about the specialty crop emphasis. And I don't even mean he knows what a specialty crop is, but he's up there using the word. And so the definition, the majority of America's farm gate value, bigger than chickens, bigger than hogs, bigger than soybeans, bigger than cotton, bigger than corn, bigger than rice, bigger than all that other stuff. Now, that gets attention, particularly if it's on the mind of political leaders who have those crops or those interest areas in their district. And that's where the votes are, so the money and the votes are going to be in there somewhere. So what happened on this? If I give Tom most all the credit, I've been up there to Washington, I told all his bosses how smart they are until they got to where they didn't believe me, and I quit, and I quit going to Washington too. But the Specialty Crop Research Initiative, I don't know how many of you know anything about that, but you know, that's money designated for, you know, for that. And I remember Secretary of Agriculture, real nice fellow, I thought, from Nebraska. Yeah, Mike Joannes, you know, he said we're going to have $1 billion proposed for specialty crop research and for specialty crops after listening sessions. I sniggered at that too. Now, I didn't get $1 billion, but we've had a pretty good washtub full of it, a lot more than we had. And that's interesting. So the Specialty Crop Research Initiative came from that Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance group getting there and working collectively to make this happen. Specialty Crop Block Grants was another area, kind of a different set of politics, more politics in that than the SCRI, at least in my mind and watching, because it does route through the Departments of Agriculture, and that's where the politics. And I don't even know if this is really true, but I put the Clean Plant Network in here. I get muddled over the years about what's in what bill, but the Clean Plant Network to establish a way to have clean plants, virus-tested material that comes out. Really big deal to me. Now we're getting back here about what's in it for me, because I'm a blackberry breeder, among other things, and we're just eaten up with all sorts of new viruses that these virologists have found. And now we release varieties, and they are virus-tested, and the problem has gone away. As far as I'm concerned, I've done all I can do. Big things that happen from these. These are big legs. Now, some of you know all about this, but this has put what we used to call ourselves horticulturists, especially crop folks, on the map. Now, I know it hadn't been all the money we could use. There is no limit to the amount of money that could be used. But seeing specialty crops stated in public by public officials, whether they know what it is or not, is almost hard to believe. And some of you have seen this. Now, I don't know exactly what your message would be in gardening, but good Lord, in consumer horticulture, you know, I don't work in consumer horticulture, but if some of you grow Arkansas blackberries in your backyard or you recommend or something, you know, we're all partners in this thing one way or the other. Lots of practitioners. Oh, Tom's got statistics about how many there are, like 4,000 billion or something, in one county alone. But, you know, what a great thing, a great message. You know, gardening is all good. Y'all agree with that? You know, it's all good. It's good even when it dies, you know. You know, life is a series of events, and best I can tell, we're all going to do that one day. And so all these plants, they do what they're going to do. You know, it's just all good. It's healthy. It puts you in touch with Mother Earth, which I think is important. It makes you aware of the environment. It gives you exercise. Is there anything not good about gardening? I don't believe that. I can't think of it is, other than sometimes I get tired of doing it, but that's just a management issue. Food supply, societal value, health. What could be of more value than that? Goodness, what a message you would have to get delivered on this. How? Well, it seems to me defining the message and the identity. I don't know any answer to any of this. Y'all are the ones that would know what it is, but good Lord, what a message. What an identity. And identify who to carry it. Find your supporters in policy decisions. I don't know how to get into the politics of this, but politicians, they've got two things I think clearly on their mind, money and votes. I'm not sure which one comes first. This is true, isn't it, Tom? You've been up there sniffing around. You know how it works, okay? And how many gardeners? I mean, lots and lots and lots. So who to carry this message to? You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I have seen it done with a whole lot less people, especially crop farm bill allowance, than what you have or what you can design. So what are you after? You know, I don't know. These, when I was making this talk, I thought, what are you after? Are you after funding? Well, I guess, you know, if you work for a university, you always are after funding. I like to say, you know, our Arkansas Razorbacks wear red clothes because that's the team color. But, you know, underneath, they've got a green underclothes because money is what underlies everything at a university. So funding, I don't know, increased profile. Do you want to be more important? Well, I think that we like for what we do to be important and deemed important in the eyes of people. What else? I'm sure there's lots of other things. I just put that there because I ran out of ideas. So what's in it for you? You know, it looks to me like we really want to be honest when we get into something. You really want to stop a minute. There's two things that I try to think about if I go to someone with an idea. What's in it for me? Am I going to make more money? Am I going to have more fun? You know, am I going to have to work less, or am I going to get to do something great or whatever? And what's in it for you? What's in it for you? What are you going to get out of it? Because if it's a one-way street, well, it's probably not going to happen. It's not going to happen very long. So what's in it for you, you people sitting in this room? Now, if it's academic, never lose sight of scholarship, whatever your credit is in your job. The best way to lose ground or lose an academic job is to not perform. So if those of you that are in consumer hort or whatever, make sure you always keep an eye on what the credit is. I just prepared a big old long career document the other day, and in there somewhere was that white paper I mentioned earlier. The white paper. How did I get the white paper? Well, I had to go to Geneva, New York, and sit by by Jay Lohr one day, and Tom Bjorkman had written the white paper for specialty crops, the original one. You may remember years ago in our business meeting of ASHS, this tall fella with a northern accent who I didn't know who he was got up and said, we need to do something about with ASHS and getting our voice out into the public arena. I'd just been elected to the board, and I was sitting there, and I wasn't paying much attention like usually we do in the business meetings, unless Jules Janet gets up to tell some joke. And I was sitting there, and I just kind of like paying any attention. I noticed, wait, now I'm on the board. I'm supposed to listen to stuff like this. So he was up there going on about something I didn't understand. Well, I made it, and I couldn't pronounce his name either, and it had lots of letters at the front that I didn't know how to put them together. And so, lo and behold, Dr. Bortman had the white paper. Well, I was up in Geneva, New York, where he worked, so I got the white paper. He handed it to me. I read it. It was my first white paper. It was on white paper. And I brought it back to the ASHS board meeting, and I said, well, I've got the white paper. They said, well, read it. And I said, well, I read it. They said, well, what are we going to do about this? And, well, I don't remember exactly what happened. The next thing you know, I was the chair of the Public Affairs Task Force, or whatever we called it, which evolved into our hiring Jonathan to go and represent things. And we started going up on the hill and meeting all these people and going to see the members of Congress and the USDA and the NIFA people and the staffers and all this stuff. And that was at least the society's energy into it. All started with Thomas Bortman and that white paper that I toted to Alexandria, Virginia. So I prepared this document the other day. I got over there to like this section on some degree of service somewhere, and there was that, you know, the chair of the Public Affairs Task Force with multiple trips to Washington to try to deliver the specialty crop message. You know, and so I could put that down. And it was fun, and I felt good. I've said this before, it was a little bit like swatting flies outside. Have you ever done that at a picnic? You swat flies, you know you're killing some, but you know you probably have no, you don't know that you're having an effect, okay? And so that's the way this whole process, you go up to Washington and you talk to these folks and you don't know if you're having any effect, but something happened. I'm not sure exactly why. Same thing can happen with you. The profile and value in academia. Those of you that work in this area, that's what you're supposed to do. This effort can be something you can contribute to, and it'll really make a difference on down the line. So funding, you know, if there's funding in here to help you, of course, that's always key. If you're in industry, well, maybe I'm narrow on this, but what comes to mind is products, profits, impacts, other things of that nature. I spend a lot of money on gardening, okay? My wife and I go out, and you come back home, and fortunately we're not as poor as we used to be. It's just something we spend a lot of money on, you know. It's just there, and so there's an industry there. It's fun. What about an ASHS role? Well, I want to mention this because ASHS has been important in this whole specialty crop thing because it was, first off, a key meeting and focus venue. I'm a big fan of let's make our meetings all they can be, and then people come. You have a poor meeting, people don't come. You build a great meeting with a lot of good speakers, you contribute, you people show up. That's just the way it works. It's pretty simple. But that's part of the collective. Help in getting the word out. Now, with as far as our, Jonathan's a political consultant. Is that right? My nephew here, I know we have a certain word we call him because you got to fill out government forms or something. But, you know, someone to help with that. He is enthusiastic about carrying that message forward. He'll help find people where the offices are up in that maze to go carry this in a potential area of society expansion. When I was the president of ASHS a few years ago, I went down to Phil's Fish House. What's that town down there south of Watsonville, California? Where is Phil? Y'all been there. There's a big power plant right there. It's on the Monterey Bay. Anyway, I went down there with Neil and Don DeVos, and I said, well, I'm a president, and I want to do something. I said, I want to make industry more important to ASHS. So they kind of nodded, and they're nice folks, too, and they were paying for dinner, and I was with them, and they said, oh, now, John, that's fine. You know, we tried that, and it didn't work. So then I perked up pretty big because they work in industry. They said, if I was going to do anything as president, or maybe they weren't quite that direct, I would focus on public horticulture or consumer, or public horticulture is what they used that day. So I listened to that. And so, you know, I created a couple of task forces to work on things. One industry and the other was public horticulture, you know, arboretum gardens and that sort of thing. So you have a working group now that works with that. It's a function of ASHS. It's an important thing. And that is where it was a part of the ASHS, part of the society, part of that expansion. And I listened to them. I don't know too much about that topic, but I certainly found certain people that knew a lot about it and tried to contribute something toward the society to make the society better. So society expansion is worth something to keep in your mind because this is an organization that helps us. It's here. It's our organization. It's there to help us. So the bottom line on this, I guess the most important thing is What do you want to say? What do you want to achieve? How wild can your dreams be? You know, it seemed to me if you want a dream delivered, you got to envision it just a little bit, you know, and then let things fall in place. So, have I provided inspiration or simply filled time with mindless dribble? Only you know.